On today's episode, we're talking about the best breakfast spots in all of Walt Disney World. This is episode 109 of the Off the Monorails podcast. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. This is the Off the Monorails podcast. I'm your host, Jordan, joined today, as always, by these two lovely gentlemen, Justin and Ryan. Fellas.
Happy tax season, boys. Let's just get it out there. Happy tax season.
It's our civic responsibility and duty, right? Or is that voting? Did I get it right? I'm not sure.
Something like that.
It's always
just roll it all into one.
It's everyone's favorite subject this time of year. So
if you're happy this time of year,
it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of adulting going on around here lately, but it's all right.
Good vibes. Right. Good vibes only.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to keep with happy vibes, Justin, I'm very happy because we are mere days away from debarkation day.
Sailing.
And I cannot wait.
Takes me away to where
the vibes are finally setting in.
Cruise time's almost here. We'll actually be recording a few episodes in advance in preparation for me being gone. And then you never know what might happen. I think we have some trips coming up amongst us as well. Yeah, we're all going to be kind of scattered around and having a lot of fun over the next several weeks and doing a lot of it Disney style and having lots of fun. So, yeah, I can't wait. We'll be spending some time at Disney before and after the cruise, and can't wait to experience the Wish and see what it all has to offer. And man, it's going to be a blast. So. Yeah, this is, even though we're suffering through some painful times right now, the anticipation's carrying us through, and then we've got some really good things coming up here for us to kind of break away and enjoy. So,
indeed, I have some baseball in my future, so definitely excited about that.
So, I'd love to hit the Grapefruit League with you, man. I would.
I will be seeing your Braves play my Orioles. Day one, I'm down there on my little vacation, so looking forward to it. No, I'm sorry, day two.
Okay.
Yeah.
They had a good game the other day.
They did.
It was a pretty good game. I think those two teams will have something to say about each other later on in the year, so hopefully.
We shall see, baseball fans.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, before we get any further in this, you want to roll a run?
Let me cut you two knuckleheads off. This is always our random banter portion of the podcast, and we like to call it our coffee break, brought to you by our great friends at expeditionroasters.com. And if you like coffee, you need to click the affiliate link in our episode description and go check out their selection of coffees and hand-thrown mugs. They are pop culture and theme park inspired, and coffee is always still the number one flavor no matter which roast you pick. At this point, I think we've tried every single roast that they produce, and I have not been disappointed by one yet. I don't know what you guys think, but I think it's some pretty damn good coffee.
Love them. Fantastic.
Yeah. So if you choose to go browse their selection, make sure and use code OFFTHEMONORAILS at checkout, and that'll save you 10% on every order that you place with that code. And also, while you're at it, get your cart to $65 or more. And that will get you free shipping in the U.S. And you might as well join their Beans Rewards program, because you will be returning to buy more coffee. So why not earn some points towards free coffee? It's a win-win, folks.
Win-win.
And it's economics. So, yeah. ExpeditionRoasters.com. And, let's get back at it, you two knuckleheads.
Yeah. And quick plug real quick. We're talking about cruise stuff. Pretty excited. We got some really good things going on over in the shop at offthemonorails.com. Go check it out. We've got some new cruise themed merchandise that's there. kind of soft launching that. So listeners of the podcast, you're knowing about it first. So go check it out. We've got a lot of new additions to the shop, and it's been fun creating some of these. So go check that out. And, you know, if you want to get crews ready, OTM style, then go after it. But speaking of cruises, also the Disney Treasure, Disney's newest ship that is being built right now and is going to have its maiden voyage later on this December. We got, remember when they kind of previewed the ship a few months back, guys, and we got to see some of the details of the ship and some of the theming, and one of the lounges being a Haunted Mansion themed bar/lounge, which just looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Disney announced the other day that they will have a pseudo monument to Mr. Raleigh Crump, who was one of the original Imagineers on the Haunted Mansion project. He will be featured as a bust there in the Haunted Mansion parlor, which is
proper.
Really, really cool. Really cool.
Yep. That is good.
So I can't wait to the day that I get to see that in person. So hopefully that can come sooner rather than later. But I just think I thought that was a really nice nod and gesture by the team to kind of put that there. So
yeah,
good on them for that.
He's a legend, and he was a national treasure. That is for sure.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that article that we read that had this information there, is that the confirmed bust?
Yeah, that's the render. Yep, that's the render that they provided.
That's going to look really neat. Brother Roland. How they have it done. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The theming is there. Proper fitting.
Yeah.
So we've seen another little tidbit of news roll out this week from the news outlets, and this one not really being good news, but the yearly price hike that we all have come to know and love, being Disney World followers, or just Walt Disney Company followers, because they raise prices everywhere. They released a good chunk of their price hikes for the year of 2025. And some single day admission tickets rose as much as $20. So I've got a...
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, it's...
It's coming. You know, we knew it was coming, right? Like, it always does, but it's part of it, unfortunately. I feel like, you know, they've increased everything, you know, else in the parks too, right? It wasn't too long ago where they announced that they were increasing, you know, cost of, you know, bottles of water and things like that. You know, might have, you know, 20 cents, 30 cents, 50 cents. Here and there,
it all adds up.
It does all add up, and I get it, right? Like, costs have also increased to a degree, but
wages have increased.
Also, I think it's more so that, right?
Yeah.
I think because I'm in consumable goods as a business, and our costs increased during COVID, right? During 2020, 21, we felt it even in 22 and some of 23, but those things have started to go down pretty significantly as well. Maybe not down to their prior 2020 marks, but they're trying, I don't know. You know, maybe this is part of their way, right, to spend $10 billion over the next 10 years or whatever that crazy number was that Iger announced a few weeks back. But maybe this you know, helps them add up those coins to save their pennies for that.
My only question is, when do we draw the line of, okay, we cannot go past this because it's getting out of hand?
It'll never happen. It'll just keep going up.
There's so much
demand. As long as people keep coming, why stop?
Exactly.
You know, it's exactly on us as the consumers, like, until people like us that go say, this is enough, we can't go no more, we're canceling our passes, or we're not buying tickets no more for our family vacation, then something happens. But
I think it'd be very hard to get to that point, though. I mean, if you think about it, how many people make this a vacation of a lifetime, mm-hmm. every decade, et cetera, to go to Walt Disney World. It's from all over the world, right? And, at the same time, Disney's going to keep doing it because they still have constraints about, how many people are working in the parks, et cetera. There's probably a degree that Disney may not want those parks at 100% capacity, right? Because then that's more staff they have to pay. That's more supplies they have to buy.
Yep.
That's a lot of things.
Oh, COVID definitely got them a lot of data that they have now implemented.
Yeah. Well, and through 100%. The process, right? The especially with the theme park reservation mm-hmm. process, all that. They've learned a lot. A lot.
Well, that's where this variable ticket price came from. They mm-hmm. built an algorithm based off of 2 to 3 years of research from mm-hmm. park reservations. And
you had the park reservation data, but then think about it. They've had all kinds of attendance data for years and years, right? Mm-hmm. So you pair that with another data point and you basically have,
the park by park information.
Full buy-in. Yep. Yeah. So no, it's part of it. I just think it was funny that they announced kind of a benefit to going and staying at Disney resorts in 2025 and then say, oh, the very next day they said, oh yeah, we're going to, by the way, that trip in 2025 that we got you excited about, it's actually going to cost you more.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Cause like Epcot had like a $20 price hike in their, highest paid date where, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, Magic Kingdom went up like $10, $15. So Epcot really seen the most of that, which I would assume is because of Guardians of the Galaxy. And it's still the newest thing at Disney right now, except for Tron. But mm-hmm. Imagine mm-hmm. what the prices will do once we get some of these pie in the sky concepts that come to life. You're going to see $200 plus single day ticket prices without Park Hopper.
Oh, yeah. Easy. You put it in that way of thinking, right, about Guardians, right? It's, I know plenty of people that may not be interested totally in going to Epcot, right? But they love Guardians. And the fact that it's there and you have to basically get the 7 a.m. virtual queue for it to try to get on that ride that day. Yeah, they had the one later at 1 o'clock, but your chances of getting on that ride that day are far superior on that 7 a.m., right?
Especially if you don't want to waste half a day waiting.
That part.
Right. And so now that's the part is now you got to do it at 7 a.m. and then you get a rant, who knows when that what group you're going to get. And then so now you're committed to that park before you can even go to another park.
Yep.
So, and you may not even want to go. I know people that literally just want to go to Epcot just for that ride. But now they are committed to that park.
And that's where you buy the Lightning Lane so you're not at the mercy of a boarding group. Mm-hmm. So there's another cross-selling
point. And
that
Lightning Lane moves so much faster than the virtual queue line, too.
Yes, it does.
That's also the one thing that annoys me about it is, you get the virtual queue. And well, guess what? That just means you get the pleasure of waiting in line for an hour. I don't get that. Space the groups out a little bit. That's just on them and their, their flow. But I digress. The other piece of news that I alluded to that was announced the day previously to the price increases was that Disney Resort guests in 2025 on their check-in days will have access to a water park at Disney World. So either Typhoon Lagoon or Pleasure Beach, whichever one's open at that time of year, maybe one day we can get back to them being open simultaneously. That would be great. But that's a nice little perk now that you get as a Disney on-site resort guest in 25.
I mean, it seems like, a good way to start a check-in process, just go hang out at the water park for a few hours unless it's 50 degrees outside. But
yeah, I mean, yeah, and we've talked about that, right? That strategy of just doing that basically at the resort, right? Just go hang by the pool when you get there. So
is it to circumvent that, you think, in a way?
I think it might be get people into the water parks because I don't think the attendance is where they want it. And then it gets people out of the theme parks, right? So then they can get more ticketed guests, more people to more capacity, more people to buy those tickets and go to the theme parks rather than the water parks. It gets people to spend more money because they'll, instead of staying at a resort where they may not spend as much money, they maybe have brought some of their own snacks, et cetera. Go to a water park where you can get hungry, thirsty there, so you spend more money there.
Well, and you already have the mindset of, oh, well, it was free to be here. Like, we got this for free, so we can splurge a little.
Yep, there you go.
So the old American dream.
Is that girl math? Is that what girl math is? I'm not sure.
Yep, it was on sale, so I guess. I saved money.
Well, this kind of brings up the question as well, is what about those that are pass holders or already have existing tickets for the water park? What does that do for them? Do they get reimbursed?
I wonder if it decreases capacity.
Yeah. Good question.
I wonder what happens.
My first takeaway, like I said, my first takeaway is the water parks aren't busy enough.
Correct.
So they want more people there. That's first and foremost. But then, it kind of puts a little bit of a damper on those annual pass holders who elected to add the water parks to their passes, right?
Because they were only $100 for the year.
Yeah. They do that, and now you may not have you could run into the situation where you don't have capacity. Like, that'd be the best case scenario for Disney, right? Is that they don't have capacity. But then you're also saying, hey, annual pass holder, we know that you have a pass to this water park, but hey, you know, like, still, you should come stay at our resort still, you know, like our on-site resorts. So if you have someone traveling with you, well, now they can get into the water park with you too.
Right.
Right. On your check-in day.
Or we'll pay your months, whatever, if you're a Florida resident. I just want to know how they would handle it more than anything.
Yeah, that's the part that sucks is you're already on the hook for the $100 you paid for water park access per pass for the year.
Yeah.
And now most people that have passes are going to stay on Disney property because they get the discounted rate on the rooms, at least from my personal experiences, that's what we do. So you get the same perk just by staying at the hotel versus having that extra $100 per pass. So that price is already going to be reflected in the price of the hotel anyways too.
Exactly. But you know what's coming next. You know that the passes are going to increase.
Oh, yeah, they're going to increase.
Oh, of course.
And in my opinion, it devalues it. Like, why would you go for the pass? Why would you do it at that point if they're going to offer it with hotel packages?
The day is coming where the top two passes at Walt Disney World will both be over $1,000, and that will be a sad day.
Oh, yeah. It'll be easy. I mean,
already approaching it.
I mean, Disneyland's that way. So it's going to be, just wait. And that's just two parks. it's definitely on its way. So just going to be the reality of what we're dealt with. But like I said, I don't think it's going to change. I don't think it's going to change people's mind about how they approach it and going or not going. So it's just going to be
another feather in the cap.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Little,
another
little
brick in the wall.
Your tax season theme here, Justin.
Yep. Taxes.
Yep. We're the blind beggar, and Disney is Sheriff Nottingham.
Yeah.
We made a meme about
not long ago.
No.
Yep.
Might be time to revisit that one for tax season. Because that's what it feels like.
Well, let's get away from some of those bad vibes. Let's go back to some good vibes. And talk about some food today, as we always kind of find ourselves back to. But today, I said back to, not bat to. So, sorry.
But
either way, I'm down.
Over the course of this podcast, we've talked a lot about food. We've talked a lot about different food places at Walt Disney World Resort. We've given you different lists, different quick service lists for each park. We've talked about food options at all the resorts. We've done, you know, $50 challenges to find the best, have the best food and best days at each park. But we haven't quite sat down and discussed the top breakfast options or brunch options exclusively on this show. So that's what today's episode is going to be all about. We're going to go through all the options at Walt Disney World Resort. If it's a brunch option or a breakfast option, that's how it qualifies on property. And we're going to build collectively our top 10 list. So we're going to kind of lock this in. We're going to give some, we're going to have, go from 10 and work our way up to number one. And we're going to throw a pick out there. One of us will throw a pick out there. And that'll be the spot that it lands in. And we cannot move it. Once it's there, it's there. It's established. So you can't revisit the place, obviously. It's just a pick that's locked in. And we're going to see how this list goes and see where it takes us and see if we can get to an agreement on where these establishments should land, because this could get pretty dicey based on experience.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we have had the pleasure of dining at a lot of breakfast places at Walt Disney World Resort, but everyone's got their own opinions, right? We tend to agree on a lot of things, but we also disagree on some things. And so I think this is going to be a good, healthy conversation and debate on some of these items. And yeah, I think it's going to be pretty cool. So, and hopefully at the end of this, we have a list that we can mostly agree on.
Yeah.
And then you can, the listener can take it and, you know, do with it what you will. Maybe put it to use and take our suggestions to heart. So, gentlemen, who wants to start us off with the 10th slot for this list?
I think I'll go ahead and bite the bullet. I know it's hard to kind of start the list because you're basically picking the worst
you're
one
setting the
out
tone.
Of the list, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
The worst one out of the list, but let's make sure to be clear. There
all
are
great.
Far more there are far more than 10 options for breakfast at Walt Disney World, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the resorts, we're talking about the parks, we're talking about Disney Springs. You name it. Sit down, quick service, character. There are a lot of options. So the top 10 should get you somewhere no matter what. But man, there are still some rungs for tiers of restaurants, in my opinion, here.
Well, so for number 10, and you guys can tell me how you feel about this. But, you know, Jordan, with your reference to Batu a while ago, I'm going to say Ronto Roasters at Hollywood Studios with the breakfast Ronto wrap for number 10.
All right.
Boy, that's setting the bar a little higher than I thought we were going to set it. I like it, but I don't know about number 10, though.
Yeah, if anyone's listened to the show at all, you know we love a good Ronto wrap, especially the breakfast Ronto wrap.
Yeah, but when we get to firing off and we start, you know, when things get warming up, we're gonna have some stuff that's gonna be left off this list.
That's
trust
very true.
Me.
Very true.
Yeah, yeah. I like it's a safe spot for it. Could it be higher? Yeah,
absolutely.
It could be higher, but I think it's a good safe spot for Ronto Roasters, and I feel I'm okay with this. I'm okay with it. So you're not going to have too much debate from me.
He had a good counter argument saying that we'd be more upset leaving off something at the top. So yeah, number 10, Ronto Roasters.
Yeah, and it's definitely not a number one or
right. Arguably so, not. But, yeah,
not even a top five to me, but still great.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Solid.
Justin, you want to do rock paper scissors for it?
Sure, why not? Here.
All right. All right.
All right, so number 9. This I felt was more deserving of a number 10, and I hate that this is going to be leaping Ronto Roasters, but Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
Sleepy Hollow at the Magic Kingdom.
I'm not mad at that.
Thoughts?
I would have put it below Ronto Roasters for sure.
100%. But
and
Should I change it?
But I feel
it,
good about it being lower on this list.
Right.
No, it's, I definitely it's feel good stay. Being lower, but it's there to stay. I don't know if it would have made a top 10 list for me.
Fair.
Don't know if it would have made a
top 10 arguable list though. It slaps. That's why it is on the list to me.
Sure. And if you're listening to the show for the first time and you don't know what Sleepy Hollow is, Justin, if you would.
As soon as you get right by the left-hand side of the castle, you'll smell fabulous chicken being baked there, more than likely. for breakfast here, they have the waffles mainly, but you'll get the chicken and waffles here during the lunch and dinner hours.
Or the Nutella fruit waffle.
Or the
it's
Nutella
great
fruit
too.
Waffle. Yep. So you can't
and
miss
funnel
it.
Cakes.
Yeah, and funnel cakes. So this place is a diamond in the rough.
Okay. Man. So number 8. You put me in a tough position, guys, already. Because I'm already fighting for like what kid do I want to save?
Yeah.
Okay. For number 8, I think I'm going to go to Epcot, and I'm going to Garden Grill in the Land Pavilion. This is a all-you-care-to-enjoy character dining experience, and you get to have breakfast with Chip and Dale and with Pluto and with Mickey in their little farming attire, breakfast pastries, Mickey waffles, bacon, potatoes, grilled steak, scrambled eggs, fruit.
The works.
Just everything you could want for a good hearty breakfast on the farm. And the restaurant spins as you eat.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It's really neat.
So that's where I'm at for number 8, Garden Grill.
I can vibe with that.
All right. So I get lucky number 7, and this list is already emotionally destroying me.
Yep.
I don't know if it's too soon to say this one, so I'm so on the fence about it.
There's about to be a major jump.
Oh man, should I do it? I'm going to, because there's other ones that's going to trump it, I'm sure.
I was about to say, there's going to be a major jump right here.
I hate not knowing what you're going to say.
Right?
It's either going to be agreed upon or you're going to hate me, but here we go. Whispering Canyon.
Honestly?
It's fair. It's fair. If it's not 7, it could... It's in the five to seven range
for sure.
Yeah, it could have been 6, arguably 5, maybe. I'm okay with it being 7.
Yeah, I've already got a top 5 in my head that doesn't include it. So that's why I felt good about 7, because there's something I'm forgetting about that could easily be number 6.
Yeah. That's a solid number 7, though.
But
yeah.
You know, all you care to enjoy breakfast, you get the sausage, the biscuits and gravy, the eggs, the bacon, the potatoes. Get as much as you want and be disgusting. It's great.
There's something for everybody. You can have a bison burger at 7:30 a.m.
Yeah,
you can have a healthier start
you
to
the
day.
Vegetarian one, Jordan.
The vegetarian, the spinach frittatas. Like there's some good options here. And it is definitely a great time of a restaurant, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely the vibes at breakfast are definitely different than lunch and dinner for sure. But it is one of those breakfasts that you will have to have someone wheelbarrow you away from.
Oh yeah. You're going to get gross.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah, I'm okay with it. I think this is actually a very solid spot for Whispering Canyon.
Yeah, I was nervous about it at first, but it is what it is. Yeah. It's our list.
And, of course, Whispering Canyon is at Disney's Wilderness Lodge, the best Disney resort on property. And you can see it right there from the lobby.
Yeah, so, and smell
really
it.
Really cool. Yeah. And if you see a guy with a giant cowboy hat on, that is Lee.
You'll hear him.
Tell him we said hello.
Yeah, yes. You'll hear him.
All right, so number 6. I hate to put it down right here, but
don't screw up.
I hate putting it down right here, but I think this is where it needs to be for us to build where we want to go. This is where Ohana lands.
Oh, man.
Ow. Ooh. I'm shocked. Like, honestly, I thought this would be a top three for you, Justin.
Yeah, I was thinking that's top three as well.
Don't get me wrong. I love it. But I think where we want to go with this list, I think Ohana needs to be right here in the midsection.
Man, you're talking about one of the most premier breakfasts in all of Disney. And it's good, too.
It really is. It's highly debatable. Don't get me wrong.
You know, there's some sticker shock to the placement, but I can see where he puts it down here. We'll see. I mean, I'm gonna give him the benefit of a doubt.
With the next pick, you'll see where my vision was going.
I will say that pineapple ham is some kind of good.
Oh yeah, there's nothing that pog juice is. Oh, dude, I dream of that pog juice. It's so good.
Yeah, I piss like five times while I'm there. I drink so much of it. Like it's so good.
I'm telling you, yeah.
That dude, the pineapple coconut bread.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
the perfect compliment.
Vanilla cream
to it.
Sauce.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Perfect uh-huh. compliment to it.
Uh-huh. All right, it should have been at number four. Nah, we'll
Damn
roll
it,
with
Justin.
The punches here.
I think you'll like the next pick for me. If y'all don't get to it.
So, all right, we're at number five. Oh man,
it's tough.
Why'd you do this to me?
It's tough.
Okay, number five. I'm going with Chef Art Smith's Homecoming.
Oh,
brunch menu, Chef Art Smith's. You can get the biscuits, you can get fried green tomatoes, you can get donuts, you can get deviled eggs, you can get French toast.
So the variety's there.
Eggs Benedict.
I'm shocked by this one, but I'm not mad at it. I just figured it would be a number like a top three for you, Jordan.
Yeah, I figured this would be a three or a four.
It's just I'm finding myself struggling to place what I want to place in the right spot, you know? And the variety here is fantastic. The food itself is just phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
This is our first Disney Springs selection.
It is.
It might be our only Disney Springs selection.
I think so too.
Now, also keep in mind, guys, because there's 10 selections and three of us, I get the number four and the number one pick. So these next two picks for you guys are going to be, you got to make them count.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's what I'm also considering because I know what I want you to put as number one.
I think I know what it is too.
If that makes sense. I'm not trying to influence you, but I'm just trying to keep in mind what my other options are still and what your other options are still.
Yeah.
So
to be fair, I don't care what his options are. I'm going for what mine are.
Well, yeah, but I get
but
it
is we don't want to lead, collectively trying to work together.
I don't want to lead anyone astray. I really want this to be a true
productive
cadence of what we think really are the top 10 in order. And I feel like I'm, you know, trying to pick
We're pulling hairs now.
So
Homecoming number five. All right, Ryan.
All right.
Lead us off with number four.
All right. So I'm going to kind of have mercy with this pick because it could be a top pick, but I know that there's one more above it in my book. And I'm sure I'm forgetting some. But number four, this is where I'm going to put Cape May.
Okay.
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 I hate this game.
Again, buffet style, character dining, a vast selection of foods. This could be a wasted number one spot that I just chose, but I can think of three off the top of my head right now that I can fire off that top this in my book.
Yeah, I mean, also hack for this place, pro tip. Book the early times,
and then get a pontoon boat afterwards.
The characters,
yeah.
When you get the early reservations, hardly any of the tables are getting booked for those very early spots.
Yep.
So the characters just keep spending a lot of time with you. So if you got kids or yourself, and you just want to spend a lot of time with those characters, with Goofy, with Donald and Daisy, when they come around in their beach attire and you want to spend some extra time with them, get those early reservation times.
Yeah.
We've done both. We've done later and we've done earlier. Man, those early time slots are awesome.
Yep. Yeah, we've done that too, and then walked straight to Epcot from there, which was painful.
Yeah.
Another hack for this place that Jordan and Justin and I did when we all went back in 2022 was when they bring out the cinnamon beach buns, you got to eat those, but you got to be very careful because you will not have room for the buffet.
With caution.
But also get the black coffee and then put the maple syrup in the coffee to sweeten it.
Yep.
Amazing.
Then dip that sweet bread in there too.
Exactly.
If your mouth ain't watering.
Justin, make this one count, my boy.
Woo! I think this one's probably the most pressure filled because this sets the tone. So for number three, don't let the name fool you. The breakfast slaps. Steakhouse 71.
There we go. I think that is a suitable number three. Could have been someone's number one.
It could be, arguably, and I wouldn't be mad. But don't let the name fool you. The grits, oh my God. Just
stupid.
It's you must get the grits here. Must have. Pancakes, they do seasonal offerings year round.
Mm-hmm.
And
steak and
eggs.
They
don't miss. Yeah, the bacon and eggs are just, they're spot on. They don't miss. They haven't missed the few times all of us collectively have been there.
Yeah, I think I've been there like four or five times now for breakfast.
It's definitely a top three in my book.
Wow.
All right, Jordan. So, no pressure.
Yeah, this gets hard now.
I've got three restaurants and we've got two spots left. we're leaving some great ones off of here. That's for sure. We may save some room for a couple honorable mentions just in case
to kick ourselves
curious.
In the ass for forgetting them.
Because
I didn't forget
happen.
Them. I've got them pulled up right here waiting. So,
well, you also got to remember, this is based off of personal stuff as well.
Yep.
So me and Ryan may have not experienced some restaurants that Jordan has. So Jordan may have a collective amount more than what me and Ryan have. So take that as you will as well.
Yeah. Okay. So
number two, Jordan. Where are we at?
I'm going to leave out a place that I think deserves the number two slot. Because I haven't been there for breakfast. I've been there for dinner, but I haven't been for breakfast. So, and everyone raves about breakfast, but I'm not going to include it because I have not experienced it. What I am going to include at the number two spot is a place I have been, and it's another brunch spot. This is the sleeper. This is the sleeper on this whole list. Olivia's Cafe.
Okay.
Old Key West Resort. We've talked about it a little bit in recent episodes. Olivia's Cafe at Old Key West Resort is probably the most slept on restaurant in all of Disney World. And for their brunch menu, you can get anything from a banana bread French toast to Caesar salads to an omelet to a potato hash. You can get blackened fish tacos, crab cake eggs benedict, and so much more. So again, variety. You can get their fried chicken. It's just the vibes of that place, especially in early morning time. It's hard to beat. And this is one that you can definitely get a reservation for very easily. And I think everyone should go experience this.
Yeah, I remember you raving about this place when you came back and we all got to talking about this. So
there's lots of people that
based off of your recommendations.
It slept on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm either going to get a pat on the back or a punch in the face.
I left it for you, man. I left it open for you.
It was laid up.
Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and dunk on it. Boma.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
There it is.
We have raved about the dinner. We've all three enjoyed the dinner, which is out of this world. The breakfast is equal. It's amazing. Like, yes. So much cultural inspiration with some of the different, like, quiches and, like, the breakfast casseroles they have. And just the – didn't they have, like, a spinach and egg frittata or something there, if I remember correctly? Oh, yeah. Like, some sort of vegetable thing.
Yep.
But huge buffet selection.
Something for every palate.
Yeah. Go there and be a fat ass. The atmosphere and the ambiance is bar none. I can't say enough good things about Boma as a whole. And that's not just for breakfast, but just as in general, as an entity.
Yeah.
That's facts.
I may have redeemed myself a little. I was actually, believe it or not, I was torn between Boma and Steakhouse 71 for number one.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a few of them here that I could have easily changed around an order or two, right? I mean, Ohana over there at number six is kind of crazy, because that could easily be a number one for someone on this list.
Yep.
But I think this is a really great list. Just to recap, at number 10, we had Ronto Roasters featuring the Ronto Morning Wrap.
Over at Hollywood Studios.
Yep. Number 9, Sleepy Hollow, which is over there at Magic Kingdom, featuring some waffles for your morning action. Number 8, at Epcot, Garden Grill. Little character breakfast spins around with Chip and Dale and an all-you-can-eat feast. And number 7, Whispering Canyon and Disney's Wilderness Lodge right there off the lobby. Again, all-you-can-eat skillet options or a la carte menu as well.
And great cast entertainment.
Good time. Yes, fantastic. Number 6, at Disney's Polynesian Resort, we have Ohana, one of the most sought-after breakfast reservations on property.
With Lilo and friends and Stitch and friends.
Great atmosphere, great breakfast. Number 5 at Disney Springs, our only Disney Springs pick, Chef Art Smith's Homecoming Brunch Service. A little bit of everything for you there, including some Everglaze donuts. And number 4, Cape May Cafe character breakfast with Minnie and her beach pals. Fantastic menu, biscuits and gravy slap, and you will have a great time there right off of the lobby at Disney's Beach Club Resort. Number 3 over at the Contemporary, Steakhouse 71. Again,
best cheese grits to ever exist.
Cheese grits are literally insane. Take that from 3 Southern boys that were raised on grits.
They're legit, certified, bona fide.
Love them. Number 2, Olivia's Cafe over at Old Key West Resort. The brunch menu there is slept on. Do not be one of those people that sleeps on that menu. And number 1, Boma at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, the Jumbo King House. One of the best meal experiences you will have. An all-you-can-eat feast, a bountiful feast, and you will rave and talk about this place with all your friends after you experience it.
So, gentlemen, quick question. I'm going to throw y'all a little bit of a curveball here.
Okay.
If you could take one of your picks and swap them out for something that didn't make the list, which number spot would you be willing to give up to put your alternate selection in?
Okay.
Or better yet, any pick. It could be any number slot, not just your number slot, but if you could put something on here different than what you feel like it's, you know, it needs to be, that's not on the list, what would it be?
I think I would take out, again, no offense, Justin, I would take out Sleepy Hollow at number 9, and I would push Kona Cafe into that spot.
Arguable, yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
Just the fact that you can get the white the macadamia nut pancakes there, the, you know, the Hawaiian coffee press pot, you know, it's the... You still get some of that ham that you can get over at Ohana. You can get here too. There's just a lot of good options there, and it's just a great. I like the Sleepy Hollow pick because it's in a park, and a lot of these picks aren't in the parks, right? There's only a handful. But if I did had to take one out, I think I would maybe take out Sleepy Hollow and put in Kona.
So I would, I'm actually shocked this didn't make the list, but I would take out the number 8 slot and put Grand Floridian Cafe in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
I knew that's what was coming.
And honestly, I mean, I could even bump my own pick at number 10 for that to at least get it on the list, but it mm-hmm. needs to be higher than 10.
Yeah.
Just based off my own recommendations, I'm with Ryan. Grand Floridian Cafe, 100%, would be a great replacement on probably anything between, I would say, 5 to 8.
Yeah, easily. Yeah. I wouldn't argue with that.
It's a good menu.
So, also, if you feel like something is left off the list or maybe something is no longer with us, unfortunately, you guys have an honorable mention you'd like to speak of?
Absolutely. And we have spoke on this plenty. I'm just going to throw it out there. Trails Inn over at Fort Wilderness.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
May it rest in peace.
Yeah, it's technically still open, right? But it's definitely not what it used to be. It's now converted from a nice all-you-can-care-to-enjoy breakfast to a grab-and-go style quick service counter, basically. They still have some breakfast options like the chicken and egg biscuit or some, like, you know, they have a sausage egg and cheese croissant, a couple, you know, Mickey waffles, your standard stuff, but nothing quite like what it used to be. And it had Trails End, the original Trails End as we grew to love, still existed to this list, it'd probably be in top five.
Yeah.
That was the most underrated, just and
value.
People had no idea. The value was incredible. It was my favorite way to end a vacation.
Yeah. It became a staple for you guys.
Breakfast at Trails End the day that you were leaving. Man, I miss it so much. You almost made me cry.
I am crying inside. I miss that damn place, man.
It's so good.
It's so damn
it hurts. Good. It hurts.
Yeah, just like the more you sit and think about it, like, damn, that was a great place.
Really,
it was
a
great place. How dare you take it from us, Dizzy? How dare you take it from us?
And then seeing what it is today, it's like they took so much from us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love that they gave it some TLC and dressed it up again, but
at what cost?
Yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my honorable mention, there was a slight chance it could have made the list, but it's a quick service, so it's often overlooked and quite slept on. But the Friar's Nook at Magic Kingdom is quite the sleeper for breakfast. It could have been, you know, a 10, 9, or 8 on the list. Their breakfast menu, it rotates. Like, they have different variations of tots, and sometimes you get some with, like, some sausage gravy on them, and you get the fried cinnamon roll bites. But they rotate all kinds of stuff through the menu, and, I mean, every time I go there, it's amazing. So, you know, even though it's not, you know, a sit-down place, still, you know, a pretty relevant breakfast spot, especially if you're having one of those days where you are hitting the parks kind of early and you need something quick in the morning. It's a great selection.
I'm not opposed to that. You know, and I'm actually vibing with that. I've got another honorable mention, and this is probably going to come at you boys and raise some eyebrows here, but Landscape of Flavors over at Art of Animation.
Oh.
Those breakfast entrees, boy.
The old Mickey Waffle Bounty Platter.
Bro.
Make a grown man hurt.
And the value's
I will not
there.
Make, yeah. I could not eat that and then make a Skyliner ride to Epcot without shitting myself. There's no way.
And I'll yes, throw it out there. It's a sleeper
bathroom
there
by the arcade real quick.
Yep, you already know.
Or and the Caribbean Beach the Station Skyliner bathroom.
There you go. But this is also an often slept upon option Pops and Century's breakfast options are pretty good too, but Landscape of Flavors has it beat.
Well, there you have our top 10 best breakfast spots at Walt Disney World Resort. A little bit of controversy mixed in. You let us know. We're gonna put up a poll on our Instagram if you're following us. If you're not following us, at Off the Monorails.
Did we piss you off?
Yeah, we'll put up a little poll. We'll ask you your opinion on what your top 10 list is. You know? And so we'll see what everyone else says, and we'll post the results there in the story. So again, if you're not following us, at Off the Monorails on Instagram, go check it out. Go follow us there. Might as well follow us everywhere else and subscribe, right? So
might as well.
TikTok, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Threads, YouTube, at Off the Monorails. So go subscribe there. We got some good video content coming soon. Yeah.
Wink.
Do that. Do that. And interact here with us a little bit and let us know what you think, what your thoughts are.
We love engaging with you guys too.
I'd love to get some people's opinions on where, you know, some of their favorite breakfast places. So
absolutely. Yeah. And not only that, but put this together with some of your friends too. This is a fun little activity that'll make you it's almost like Monopoly with your family. you're gonna piss off a long time you're done.
Yeah.
Some hands are
just gonna flip the table over.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's flipping the board?
But, you know, there's always time where we can rehash this for lunch and dinner as well. So,
yes, sir.
There's future conversations to be had.
Yep. And that's the beauty of this, right, is we have our opinions. These things are always, always changing. So this list may not look the same tomorrow or in a couple weeks. But for now, this is our list. We're sticking to it. So, boys, this was a fun one. Anything else you want to get out there to the people before we say goodbye?
Absolutely. We want to make sure you guys visit your podcast platform of choice. Be sure to share us with your friends and family. Leave us some ratings. Leave us a little sentence or two just describing what the podcast is about, what you like about us, what you don't like about us. Just be as constructive as possible so it helps other people find us, and maybe we're part of their flavor as well and add us into their rotation. And above all else, that's all we're wanting to do, is just help people plan and make things fun for Walt Disney World vacation. So make sure you help us out, hook us up with some ratings, and then leave us a couple of nice words for us to read later on down the road, and we greatly appreciate those that have already.
Yep. And while you're in the episode description, checking out all of our affiliates there, just make sure you click on their links there and give them some love, and they can help you do a lot of great things, like save money on your next Disney vacation. So until next time, you know, by the time next week's episode premieres, I'll be on a boat with my flippy floppies, and you know, we'll be up to no good. So we'll get a couple episodes here in the meantime, pre-recorded, so you can still stand by for your normal Friday morning releases. So those won't be going away for the next couple of weeks. They'll be there on time for you guys to enjoy. And yeah, can't wait to get those to you, and cannot wait to get on this boat. So
until then,
I'm Jordan.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Off the Monorails.